You can sit with us podcast with Lexi B.
An entrepreneur at heart, Starlet's superpower is bridging the gap between data and the creative realm. Numbers are her jam, and if anyone can make it fun and easy to digest, it's her. Coming from a diverse background, she loves optimizing the customer journey from the first touch point to the brand's end goal. She's all about the deep dive. Who said a numbers person couldn't be a thrill seeker? In her free time, she's typically putting around in her backyard, nurturing her avocado tree, or biking around the neighborhood with her 5 and 1 year old.
You can sit with us podcast with Lexi B.
Welcome, Starlet. How are you?
I am doing well. Thank you. Thank you for having me. How are you?
I'm good. So I know that we are only voice, but I do want to honor the fact that I love how your sweater matches your wallpaper. I think it's phenomenal. I think it's poetic, and I'm here for it.
I just love visual. This is my favorite color. And I have to wear it for this episode for you.
I'm just imagining you doing this for like all of your calls. Just like Starlet somehow matches and accentuates her background. And that would, knowing you, that would be you. And I'm here for it. I'm just here for it.
You know, like when you think about the color wheel, there's like the warm color, there's the contrast. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'm going to be thinking about, you know, what's going to be really poppy against this blue background? It's like light pink color, and then, you know, yellow. Or, but yeah, I love having fun with visual.
I love it. I love it. So what is in your coffee cup? What are you drinking with us today as we have this conversation?
Well, it is winter time, a lot of sniffles. So I actually am drinking this freshly sliced ginger with lemon squeeze, pouring some hot water, and it's really, really good. So it's essentially, it's a ginger lemon tea.
Okay, let's break that down. So this is not a tea bag from the Costco. So we have hot water, and then you sliced ginger yourself, and then you added orange.
Lemon squeeze, yeah.
Lemon squeeze.
Yeah, and you can add orange. You can add anything that you want. It's really, really good.
It just sounds very, it sounds like medicine, but not in a bad way. I don't know. Because medicines always taste bad, but it sounds healing. That's the word. It sounds healing.
It really is. And it's so calming. And ginger actually is like one of those childhood drinks that I always had. And it's my mom and dad who actually taught me freshly sliced ginger. Gotta get a kick to it. So good.
So with that said, where are your people from? Since it sounds like your ancestry has indoctrinated you into the ginger. So where are your people from?
Well, I was born and raised in Indonesia. And my parents both are Indonesian with a Chinese descent. So the story is 7 generations ago, our ancestors came from China to Indonesia. But we've been living in Indonesia for 7 generations, pretty much Indonesian.
Can I ask a question? Every Indonesian that I've met and or just know all have this ancestry to China. Is that very, and I say that as if I know a lot of Indonesians, I don't, but my question to you is that with the history of just Indonesia being inhabited by humans, is that a very common thing where many Indonesians are these direct descendants of China?
So Indonesia is highly populated and it is like the biggest archipelago country, right? It's got like 17,000 islands. It's got 250 million people. And it has so many different culture and background and ethnicities. So we have the Chinese descent, we have the Malayan, we have the native from each of the islands. So the Chinese population actually comprises a very little percentage of, yeah.
Really? So y'all are the minority. Interesting. Okay.
We are the minority. Yeah. But it is such a melting pot and it is so beautiful. And we even have like 628 different languages. I mean, not just dialect, right? It's like completely different languages from each of the areas.
So how does that work in schools? Like I can just imagine, you know, 6-year-old Starlet going to school, minding her business.
and you walk into school and you have all these other kids who speak different languages, was that actually common to you? It sounds like you have this story of just being used to, okay, differences are here in this room. We need to just figure out not only to celebrate those differences, but how we work together in this moment.
Yeah. The cool thing is I grew up in Java, East Java. It is a tiny, tiny town called Blitar. And the language that you speak in Java is Japanese. And there's actually like three levels of Japanese, like the casual one, the medium one, and then the very, very like eloquent and polite one when you speak to like, you know, your parents or something. Growing up, we actually learn both language. We learn Bahasa Indonesia, which is the national language of Indonesia, where everyone speaks that one national language. And then we also learn the traditional native language from that specific area where we grew up. For my friend who grew up in West Java, they learned something completely.
But you can communicate with your friend through the national language.
Exactly.
And when you go back to Mama and Daddy Starlet's house, we are speaking Javanese.
We're speaking Indonesian, but a mix of Javanese.
Got it. Okay, very cool. So where are you right now? Because I don't think you're in Indonesia. But how did we get from Starlet in Indonesia living her best life to where we are now? Because you're an immigrant. So how do we do that?
I am. Yeah, I am. And I'm still living my best life too.
As you should be. As you should be.
Of course, right? I'm based in Oakland. But it's so funny that you mention it. So what I really love about my parents, you know, like, and I love the word celebrate that you mentioned earlier, is that they really empower us, like their kids, to celebrate all of these different cultures and to really go out there and open our minds. So when I was in high school, I got a scholarship to go to Japan and stay there for a year. And that, you know, coming from a country with so many different backgrounds, and then now I was really jumping into this full immersion, completely different country, completely different language that I didn't speak of, and completely different culture, right? And then, so I think from a very, very young age, I was already learning about like that the world is so huge and there's so much to see. So I was already really excited to go places. And then so in college, for college, when I got the opportunity, I went to United States for college and I ended up staying here for now.
It could change tomorrow. It could change tomorrow, Seth.
It could.
So now that I know more about your background, I think that this topic is so timely. And I'm talking to you about emotional intelligence at work, because I get this feeling based on your background, based on how Indonesia has all of these different people from all of these different places and faces and races and all of these languages and all of this ancestry that is so different. And then you coming from that, coming from parents specifically that encouraged and challenged you to embrace all of that. And then you having this experience of moving to Japan at a very young age, like you were still a kid, right? And then having to navigate that and then coming to America, I think emotional intelligence is very poignant for you, because it sounds like, and I could be wrong, and please correct me, you had to really lean into that in order to have your basic needs met as you moved, and then in order to thrive. Is that correct?
120%. And it's not saying that at a very young age, I know exactly what emotional intelligence is and, you know, like how to navigate these things. It's just that knowing that people are so different, that there is so many diversity out there, so many different points of view, so many ways of life. What I learned the most is that there's no right and there's no wrong. It's just different. It's just a different point of view. And so
speak more to that.
So yeah. So that takes me more to like, if we have an argument at work and that we feel that, you know, there are two sides of the argument, obviously, which one is right, which one is wrong. A lot of people would think that. But actually, there is really no right or wrong answer. If you shift your mindset to think about there's no right or wrong, it's really just different. And then the way that you approach that discussion discussion, that argument, it becomes a discussion. It's no longer about convincing the other person that I am right and you are wrong. It's about, all right, we know that we're different. Let's work together. Let's discuss how we can work through this together.
I agree with that. I think that many times in my career, what I have been fighting is that we can have different opinions, but when you actively think that my experience in this world does not matter because of what I look like, where I come from, how my hair is braided, et cetera, add in, insert any identity, that's when we actually have a problem, right? But as far as actual differing of opinions without all of those constructs and those things, I completely agree with you. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I think it was James Baldwin. He had a very great quote, and I forgot the quote, and I really need it right now, of course, where basically he makes this reference and he says, we can disagree on anything. We can disagree on anything, and I'm cool with us disagreeing on it. We just can't disagree on my ability to have freedom as a Black queer man, because he was a Black queer man. And he was like, so as long as we're cool with that, as long as we can both agree that we're both humans and deserve the same fundamental rights, you can like chocolate, I can like strawberry milkshakes, and it's all good in the neighborhood.
Yep. Yeah.
Right?
You couldn't have said it any better. That's absolutely right.
So let's go back to Baby Starlet. And I want to know, when was the time that you remember that you identified this concept that like, wow, having strong emotional intelligence is actually very beneficial for me as I move around the world? When was that moment for you?
So I was at my first internship at a tech startup here, actually. I was still a baby. Yes, I absolutely was still a baby. And, you know, as an intern, like your first day at work, she's usually like anxious, and then you kind of like navigate like where your place is, right? But then, you know, that moment after a few weeks, you kind of like settle in, and then you know where you are. You know that you feel like, I can totally contribute here. I am learning so much. So then, you know, you feel like, this is my home. I'm comfortable, right? And I'm happy. And then so one day I came to work, and I was this bright-eyed, bushy-tailed intern, and I'm like ready to take on the world. And I was just like humming and singing and just like being happy, being myself. And then I got to my chair and my desk, and it's a shared open space.
Okay.
And, you know, Silicon Valley startup, the usual sort of setup. And then as I was putting my laptop down, ready to like tackle on my first email, and I kept humming the song. And then suddenly someone who worked with me, not an intern, he was like, darn it, stop singing. And then he said it in a way.
He did not say that. That hurts my heart. I'm like, you just broke this little intern's heart. Like thousands of pieces.
I know, right? And then I heard that, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like, you know, and like you said, I was still a baby, and I was like, oh my God, I did something wrong. I'm an intern, right? And, you know, someone else heard that, and then, you know, kind of like diffused the situation. But, you know, that is like one little episode where it kind of stuck with me for a while. And the reason why is because when I think about that person, and totally no hard feelings, is that, well, he probably was having a hard day. He probably was not sure how to express that challenging day for him, and then whatever emotion that he was having at that day, in a manner that shouldn't have hurt this little young intern or even other people, like, or whoever it is that he speaks to, right? So I think that is the very definition of EQ. How do you recognize your emotion, and then how do you manage that emotion? How do you express it? And then how you know how it impacts other people?
Yeah, because I mean, you know, I don't know him, but he sounds like a serious happy snatcher, okay? But as you give the example, I'm really thinking, what would I have done in that situation? Because I was like, well, maybe he forgot his headphones and he really needed to focus, right? And I feel like I would have either gone to one of the rooms, you know, a small room, and focused, or I would have just asked you if you could just turn it down a little so I could focus while honoring the fact that you're so happy and excited.
Yep. Right. Exactly.
And it sounds like how in which he communicated this narrative was just like, oh my, like, again, you just crushed the intern's heart. I wasn't there. And my heart is crushed, darling. My heart is crushed.
Well, and then this little episode is truly kind of like lay out the foundation on how I think about, like, I definitely wouldn't want to be the person who crushed someone else's day. Mm-hmm. So then how can I do that? And then that's when I started really leaning into, you know, this notion of EQ. It's because, you know, like I think the quickest path to get there is like, how do we not do something? So like, how can I not be this person? When I become a leader, so, you know, like as I reflect back to that time, like when I become a leader, I want to be someone who's not a happy snatcher. I want to be someone who's empowering other people. And how can I do that? And then that is through having EQ.
Now that you are a leader, you're not only a leader, you're an entrepreneur. Like you own your own company, which I think is different than just being a leader, right? It's one thing to be a leader in a large or small company that is not yours. It's another to be the leader of it all, right? The leader of the work, the leader of payroll, the leader of benefits, the leader of it all. It's all on you. How do you use emotional intelligence to work with these wonderful people that work for and with you? Because I do know from our conversations, you have some people that work in the United States, and you also have a large group of people that work in the native land of Indonesia. So give us some advice, tips, and tricks on how you are leading and entrepreneuring. That's not a word, but I just made it up. And entrepreneuring.
I like it.
Yes. With emotional intelligence at the front of your leadership abilities.
First of all, thank you so much for the shout out. Running my own business is so challenging, but I also wouldn't have traded for any other thing. It's such a rewarding experience. And when I think about how we've grown and how we've grown our team and how my team have grown their team, that's kind of like the experience that I truly, truly cherish. And then so if we're talking about EQ and how the, you know, its place in my team, there's so many different areas for it, right? Like in your everyday interaction. Okay, let's go here. When was the last time, Lexi, when you have a discussion with someone, all that you can think of is what should I say next?
It's funny you mentioned this. So truly, the last time that I really consciously did that was October 21st. And the reason why I know the date is that on October 22nd, I had an offsite for my corporate job, where we did a 3.5 hour improv class. And the whole point was, what does it actually mean to actively listen and not to respond because you're thinking about your response? Like Starlet said, blah, blah, blah. And instead of actually listening to her deeply, I'm sitting there going, okay, so this is my response to that, right? But actually sitting there and listening to Starlet speak her piece. And even if that means I need an extra 30 seconds or a minute to respond, and we sit there in absolute discomfort silence, that is better than attacking what she said. So that's why I know that, because like that was a very transformative 3 hours of my life in October.
Lexi, that is beautiful. And that's exactly, you know, like one of a very solid example of where EQ takes place. When we have a discussion with someone else, we want to be truly present and truly actively listening. And you're absolutely right. Like you said it beautifully, is that even if it means it's going to take you some time to pause, and people are often very afraid of pausing in silence and very uncomfortable with it, but it actually is a beautiful thing. You know, it's a beautiful thing to take your time to take a deep breath, to know what you're going to say next without being in a hurry. So I think one, active listening and truly being present is one big element as a part of practicing your EQ. And then The second one is empathy. Empathy is how can you put yourself into the other person's shoe. Here's an example of what happened. And this is just something small. I am a perfectionist.
It's good that you claim it. It's good that you claim it.
I said it this way because I knew that I'm a perfectionist. I just did not know what the extent was. It was actually recently, like, and how it impacts me working with other people. Until recently that my dearest friend was saying that, Starlet, you have a very, 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 very high expectation of yourself and for other people. And it's going to stress the heck out of you so much.
Was your friend saying that because did something happen where you expected something from someone and they did not deliver? And so you were sitting there like, I can't believe this happened. And your friend was like, we need sis.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. So, and it's like a very, very, it's the example of 80-20, right? Like, so I work a lot with visual ads. You know, sometimes I'm thinking that this visual is great only if the box is not a rounded box and it should be just like a pointed box. That is the type of perfectionist that I am, Lexi. And then my partner is like, 99.99% people wouldn't care. And like, it's not going to move the needle. Like that rounded box versus the pointed corner, it doesn't matter. That's one, right? Like knowing how you are. And then number two, maybe it is not about the rounded corner. Maybe it is about something bigger and that I have to give feedback so that we can all improve, right? Like we always want to do like 1% improvement every day. That's kind of like one of our motto on our team. So how can we provide useful feedback without being a happy snatcher? Putting myself into my team member's shoe, like how would he feel right now? What's happening in his world or what's happening in her world? So very, very simple example again is that I was working on a report for a client. I was reviewing it and I noticed that, oh, the numbers don't actually match. So I went in and I made the edit. But then in my head, it's like, oh, well, this should have been caught in a QA, you know, like by my team. And then this was like 5 minutes before my meeting and I was kind of like a little bit flustered. I was kind of like a bit of high stress. And then I think to myself, what would be the best way to bring this up to my team member? And as much as I am a perfectionist, I know this and I've been really try to make myself better at this. I am a very indirect communicator. Sugarcoating things, just going round and around in a circle, you know, without really saying it, like saying what I truly need and what I truly am. The old Starlet would have like said something like, you're doing a really good job. And, you know, like you've been with us for this long. And then I would like list all of these positive things. And then I would say, you know, this happened. And then can you fix it? And then I would have just like put that but at the very end, a very, very quick 10 or 20 seconds so that I can just like do it quickly and then say what I wanted to say and then that's it and done. And then so if you were the other person, all of these positive comments that I got, first of all, it's like completely negate all of that. And then now I would be thinking like, oh, just say what you wanted to say, you know, like just tell me what I did wrong. Because I know there's a but coming. Instead, what I found that's been really, really beautiful, and then I got a direct feedback about this, is that I said, you know, I wanted to talk about the report that happened last week. So I noticed that the numbers were different from the platform. You know, I should have caught it earlier, but I was also in a rush, so that was totally on me. But I'm curious, you know, because you've been doing these reports for weeks and weeks and weeks and there was never a problem. Is there something that happened or are you okay? Or do you need like extra resources so that this doesn't happen again? Like, what can we do so that this type of thing, the numbers have to be right?
Because what you're saying is the numbers have to be right. Like,
yep.
In order for us to work, the numbers have to be right.
Yeah.
They were wrong.
Exactly.
But how can I support you as your leader?
Yeah, exactly.
And whatever that support looks like to make sure they are right.
Exactly. And then the feedback that I got was like, I'm so sorry. I totally was in a rush, you know, all of these things. Like, but don't worry. This is what I'm going to do, right? It's really not a big deal. Instead of me just like seething and then thinking to like, how can this happen? And then how can we make this better? Like, what can I say? But no, like just having that very direct conversation really, really helped. And then, you know, the point of feedback that I got from them is that I love working with you, Starlet. And the way that you said that makes me want to be a better person, makes me want to do better. To me, that was like the biggest win. And then as I reflected back, like, how is it so different? Like previous time. One, I put the intention in the beginning. What is it that I want to say? I'm also connecting with them, with me, saying what my experience is, inserting that empathy there to see how can we help you? How can I help you? Those elements really make a big difference when we're communicating with other people.
When you hire people, is emotional intelligence, EQ, at the top of your list? Are you also searching for people with this skill, whether it's natural or whether they learned it? I don't know. I don't know how they procured the skill, Starlet. Okay. But it's clearly there. Is that something that's very important to you as you continue to build your team and you continue to work with clients? Like, what does that look like for you as you're looking to work with people?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. EQ is like one of the factors. So, and you heard this interview questions a lot, is that like, tell me what happened when you have a disagreement at work, like how you approach it.
Oh, yeah.
Or tell me what happened when you made a mistake.
That's an EQ question. You're right. That's an EQ question.
Those are totally all EQ questions. Tell me what happened when something didn't go your way. The answers are really telling on how they approach this, whether they are aware of how they use their EQ in the workplace.
Is it more important for you to hire someone that has a high EQ that may need a little bit more training on the actual job end? Or is it more important for you to hire someone with the actual job skill who needs more training on the EQ? If you had, you know, it's not a perfect world. The best case scenario is you have the high EQ person with the high skill set, right? But if you had these two hypothetical candidates, you who has a very high emotional intelligence, which one would you choose?
What do you mean it's not a perfect world?
Coming from the perfection. Duh, I forgot. My bad. What do you mean I can't get everything I want, Lexi? What is this conversation?
What do you mean?
What impressive conversation is this?
This does not exist in my world.
Like, exactly. Oh, exactly.
So, that is a really, really tough question. I'm going to step away a little bit from the EQ question, because one of the things that I'm looking for in someone is that they're always eager to learn. They're always hungry to learn, like no matter what, because whether it's EQ, whether it's a skill set, those are the things that you can learn. If you work with someone who's just immune to change, they don't really want to learn, then I honestly, they're probably not a great fit with our team culture, because our team culture is about continuously learning. And I really appreciate that you said that I have a high EQ, but I am also still very much a beginner. I feel like I have still so much to learn. And that's really the premise of how we work, is that how can we learn and how to be better? And how can I find out if this person is eager to learn or not? Is that I usually ask them, all right, tell me about a project that you're really, really excited. Regardless whether it's a personal project or a project at work, that you're just so excited, like, something, a passion project that you're so excited that you just spend so much of your time on. You sleep and eat and breathe it. You're taking a shower and then you think about it. You're eating and you think about it. You talk to other people and you talk about it. You know, like, you just can't help yourself. So if you find this person who has this much passion for something, that to me tells me that they will go the extra mile and they will make the effort, and then they will learn all the things to make sure that their project gets to where they want it to be. And to me, that is the most important character trait, because then EQ, skill set, they're they can learn it. And then they'll be willing to learn it.
I love that answer. So it's not about what you have and what you don't have. It's about what are you willing to do to learn what you don't have? We're all not perfect.
Apparently.
In Starlet's apparently, world. Yeah. We're all, even in Starlet's world, all not perfect. Apparently. My last question for you, and I love how you brought this perfectionist angle, is that while I agree with your friend who kind of gave you that feedback, I also think that sometimes that rounded edge is important.
Oh, yeah.
So how do we find a middle ground with that? Because I agree that sometimes you got to let it go. But sometimes that rounded edge could cost you the contract, could cost you the award, can really make a difference. How do you actively every day kind of make that decision of, I'm going to have to let this go, but I'm not letting that go?
It's so hard. It's very, very hard to know which one to prioritize and which one to deprioritize. And in my perfect world, I have a spreadsheet full of this, you know, list of things to do. And then what is the impact of feature number one to, depending on what the goal is, right? What is the impact to revenue? What is the impact to getting more customers? What is the impact to this? So it really depends on what is it that we're trying to achieve that day? And then whether making that rounded corner, is it going to help us achieve that goal that day amongst all of other millions other tasks? So I would say take a step back and then see what is the underlying goal here. Let's get ourselves out of the weeds and then see where do we want to be. And then if that rounded corner is actually the 80-20, the 20% very quick change that's going to make an impact, then absolutely. But then if it is not, then I think there are things that we can let go.
That's actually really great feedback. As I think about my own life right now, you don't realize what you're pouring into me. I'm over here rethinking some things.
Holy gosh.
Some things that I got to let go and some things that I need to not let go.
Do you want to share?
Yeah, I think that growing this podcast has been an interesting experience for me. I remember having brunch with you a long time ago, and I had actually just met with the designer for the creative stuff. And I am learning day by day as I build my team for this podcast, things that I have to let go and things that I cannot let go, even if my team wants me to let them go, right? And just actively trying to find that balance, if you will.
It's a hard thing to do. It's so hard. It's something that I learn every day. And sometimes you kind of have to make a decision quick. And then sometimes you have the whole, 60 minutes a day, a week to think about it. I learned that you kind of have to make a decision and then you live with it and then you do better next time.
So it's kind of like commit and move forward.
Yep.
Just you have to commit and you have to move forward.
Yeah.
And maybe that is don't want to get too cliche here, but maybe that is like the definition of actual life. Sometimes you just have to commit and move forward. Because just the opportunity to move forward is a blessing.
That's true. We can talk about emotional quotient and emotional intelligence all day long. We can talk about what would happen if we do the rounded corner or not. But then we're not going to get any result if we're not going out there and then actually do it.
Sometimes it's better just to commit and go. And then because you get to go and do it again or do it better or just have the opportunity to do, play in the sandbox one more time. Really having those conversations of now, what do we want to do and how do we want to be better?
Yes, exactly.
Well, thank you so much for being here with me today. How can we follow you? How can we support you? What is going on in your world? How can we stalk you on the internet?
Oh my gosh, Lexi, it's been such a pleasure and such an honor. You are so masterful in asking the questions and it makes me really think through all these stories in my life that's been super impactful. You guys can find me on LinkedIn, Starlet Susilo. We have a course about online advertising and how to reach your customers with empathy.
Oh, it does. Because, I'm just thinking, let's be very clear here. Capitalism is capitalism. A customer gives you money, right?
Yep.
I'm not giving people money, Starlet, who don't treat me with empathy.
Thank you for saying that. And a lot of times, we get caught up of things like, this is the best product because it does A, B, C, D, E, right? Like, why wouldn't you buy it? Because it has all of the things. But then let's think about it from the customer's point of view, right? Like, is A going to make my life better? Is B going to make my life better? Why should I care about C? Why should I put my hard-earned money to get E feature that you said is good, but actually doesn't make any sense for me?
I'm excited for this. We'll definitely put it in the show notes. I'm not going to lie. I am a feeling-driven consumer. Starlet, you could serve me tap water as long as it's how in which you do it. I would pay tap water for tap water as long as how in which you market it to me and how in which you sell me, right, makes me feel good. I'm not going to lie. And maybe I shouldn't say that publicly because now everybody's going to be trying to send me stuff to sell me things. But like, that's just the truth, right? I do think that marketing is very empathetic. Like, great marketing is very empathetic and it's very emotional because you are targeting those heartstrings.
Oh my gosh. I love that tap water analogy, Lexi.
Oh yeah. It's the truth. Now, that doesn't mean that y'all need to email me every 2 seconds about selling me something, but that is the God's honest truth.
Let's see how many tap water ads you're going to get today.
Because you know, you got to love the algorithm, girl. You got to love the algorithm, right? I'm going to go on Instagram and see all these filtered tap water ads, even though I do not need another water filter. I already have one. I'm good. I got a delivery service. We're good over here. But thank you so much for being here. Have a wonderful day. Thank you for doing what you do. And more importantly, how in which you do it. Because I do think that all of us need to do our part in this world, even if it's small, medium, or large. And you being very intentional about hiring and training people to be empathetic in their professional life really does change how in which people are seen, heard, and valued in all walks of life. And so I really appreciate that.
Lexi, that is the highest compliment. Thank you so much. I really appreciate what you do.
You can listen to You Can Sit With Us episodes on Spotify. For more information, visit our website, lexib.com, and our LinkedIn account at LexiB. And make sure to follow our podcasts on Instagram at SitWithLexiB. And don't forget to subscribe to our Spotify channel.